tremble at his word. Tell me, does it move you? Do you desire it more than your necessary food? Is it more precious than the finest gold and silver? Words of truth to live by, the mind of God. All his words are true, and all his ways are right and just. We have the very mind of Christ. Will you let it be in you? Will you let it be in you? As a man does think, so is he, you see. Who is it that you want to be? Who is it? Tell me, who is it you seek to be a living epistle, a letter read by all, manifesting Christ, the way, the truth, the life? All his words are true, and all his ways are right and just. We have the very mind of Christ. Will you let it be in you? Will you let it be in you? Tremble at his word. Tell me, does it move you? Do you desire it more than your necessary food?
Thank you, Vicky, very much. And Frank, would you mind closing those doors in the back? That's good. Okay. Not until they come in. We don't want to close it on them. That's good. We'll keep the noise level down because we have an active little Sunday school class back there that we prayed God would send kids to. And guess what? He's doing it. He's doing everything we asked him to do in accordance with his will, his wisdom, his plan, his purpose, and his will in our lives, individually and our corporate life here as a church. So let's pray once again. Father, bless the message as it goes forth today. May it pierce to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and be the critic of the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. May it take us apart and put us back together again. For we pray it in the matchless name of our great God and Savior, the only role model of genuine spirituality, and our great hero, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is present with us today, or two or three are gathered in his name. Welcome, Lord Jesus. May the words of our mouth and meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, the ladies' seminar, by way of announcement, the ladies' seminar has been an overwhelming success, with many around the world hearing the message of God's love for weak nobodies like us. So far, we have 400 downloads from a variety of places around the globe, believe it or not. That's one good thing the internet does, is it makes wonderful spiritual messages available to people that would never hear them otherwise. And so there's three down, three messages down, and two to go, and then Judy will go on a Caribbean vacation to recuperate. You think it's easy? Or without expenditure, what she does? It's not either. Though the Lord is always faithful in it, in every way. So praise his holy name. Wonderful messages. If you haven't listened to them, guys and ladies, please do. Without any further delay. So our message this morning is entitled, Be Careful How You Walk Around. Be careful how you walk around. What do you mean, careful how you walk around? How you conduct your life. Each day of your life. Each day is a gift. And what you do with it will determine many things in your life. It will either give you further options to do wonderful things, or it will limit your options. Bad decisions always limit future options. I got that from Rick Hughes years ago. So anyway, in the last two sessions, it's Sunday, September 9th. September 19th is what it is, 2021. In the last two sessions, the question was posed over and over, do you believe? That's a good question. Jesus said it at the tomb of Lazarus. He said, do you believe it? That those who, though they die, will live again? And those who live and believe will never, never die? Do you believe this? He said, yeah, Lord, I guess so. No, do you? Yeah, we believe it. We believe in the only begotten Son of God who rose from the dead, who died on the cross for all of our sins. Do you believe that? For all of your sins, not some of them, all of them. You believe it? Then live like it. The last two sessions, that question was posed over and over again. Do you believe? Before we move on to today's subject, let me ask you a couple questions. Let me ask you if you believe the following important statements from God's holy word. Most of these are from Romans chapter 8. And they are this. Do you believe that there is no possibility, listen now, no possibility of one thread, shred, or stitch of judgment or condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? Romans 8:1. Do you believe it? Then live like it. Do you believe that God works all things together for the good to those who love him, those called according to his good purpose, as all believers are? Do you believe that? Then live like it. Do you believe that God is for you, all for you, and therefore no one can be against you? Do you believe that? Then live like it. Does that get you? Any of them? Do you believe that nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus in Romans 8:39? Do you believe that? Then what? Live like it. It's absolutely true. Now, our text for this morning is Ephesians 5:15. If you want to look there real quick, you don't have to, but you can. That's why we have Bibles. That's why we bring them to church, so you can look at the scriptures. Without getting too distracted, because you can always jot down the references and then look them up later. Ephesians 5:15 says, therefore, be careful how you walk around. Not as morons, it says unwise, as moros, unwise, not as unwise. I like the more common rendering. Morons, not like morons. I didn't say Mormons, I said morons. But as wise men, rather as wise. Walking is the word in the Greek. Now you need to know this word, it's a good one. Peripateo, that'll stick with you. You always say peripateo. I'm going to go for a peripateo. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going for a Perry Patel. Let's go. Honey, let's go for our Perry Patel, our daily Perry Patel. Hook the dog up, put his harness on. We'll go for the Perry Patel. Which means, literally means, how one conducts his life each day or any particular day or every day in general. We're told to be careful how we walk around. If walking is conduct, then steps that we take, our thoughts and decisions that we make that result in the things that we do. The Latin phrase for this is modus operandi. Did you ever hear of modus operandi? That's somebody's MO, his modus operandi. And that's what someone does habitually and how he does it, which characterizes his or her life. In criminology, it is the distinctive pattern in multiple crimes that lead to one individual that identifies him or her as the actor. Well, we're not criminals. Or are we? Not all of us. Some of us have done criminal things in our life, but they're forgiven. There's not one stitch, shred, or thread of condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So, the modus operandi is the things we do and continue to do that characterize us. It's how you do things. It's how you do this and how you do that. And now that's modus operandi, what you do and how you do it. And next is what's called modus vivendi, V-I-V-E-N-D-I, M-O-D-U-S, V-I-V-E-N-D-I, another Latin term, which is one's way of living or lifestyle. That's what it means. It's not so much what you do, but why you do as you do, why you live as you do, as you demonstrate what is most important to you. Everyone operates either for or against themselves, for or against their own best interest. In the end, you are either kind or cruel to yourself. You either helped yourself or did yourself harm. Either helped yourself or hurt yourself, as the case may be. You were either your own best friend or your own worst enemy. It comes down to thoughts, decisions, and actions. Nothing you do is without thought. Faulty and irrational, though it may be. You say, well, I must not have been thinking straight or thinking right. True. You probably weren't. No one does what's right unless they think right. Thoughts and decisions, that is, right choices, making right choices. All of us make many choices each day, some important ones and others unimportant. Some of us make decisions that are crazy things and that don't turn out well at all and characterize our life in the end. You are the sum total of your own decisions, actually. Now, God determines a couple things in your life. He determines the time of your birth and the time, manner, and the circumstances of your death. And those things you can't affect. You don't affect. You say, well, I could kill myself. Well, yes, you can, but he knew that already and allowed that to happen, if indeed it did, if indeed it does. But anyway, some things that we choose are as trivial as what color socks we wear with purple pants and a powder blue shirt. I know that's your favorite color scheme. What color socks would you wear? Yeah. I say none. If it's warm outside, and purple if it's not. Or you can wear socks that are both purple and powder blue to tie your ensemble together. That's a joke. Not a very funny one. Important decisions or steps would be what you will do with your day, any given day, how you'll spend your time. That depends on what you think is important. That is your modus vivendi. What is most meaningful, valuable, and important to you determines what you do and how you live. God tells us we are to be careful how we walk. In Ephesians 5:15, it's not just carefully, but most carefully. In other words, you should contemplate what you do, when you do it, how you do it. The word here for carefully is akribos, A-K-R-I-B-O-S, which means accurately, exactly, precisely, or diligently. Be careful. With this in view, we're instructed to carefully decide and to mark or study people that live that way. We're told in Psalm 37:37, mark the perfect man. And who do you suppose that is? Yeah, nobody else. And behold the upright, those who imitate Christ. For the end of that man is peace. There's only one that I know of, perfect man. The one Hebrews 1 calls the pioneer and perfecter of faith. That Isaiah calls, in Isaiah 9:6, he calls the prince of peace. See, the end of that man is peace. The only perfect man that ever lived, the God-man, Christ Jesus. He's the one we preach here. We don't preach people. We don't preach do. We preach believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved in every way. You keep on believing, and you'll be saved in every way. He is salvation. His name is salvation. Jehovah Savior. His name is salvation. He'll save you from yourself, from your own bad decision, bad choices, wrong thinking, bad choices, and stupid actions. That's what he'll do. That's why you come to church, so the pastor can beat on you with those things and show you what you're doing and not doing and what you need to do, which is trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. You say, well, I tried that once and didn't work for me. Well, you didn't do it right. That's all there is to it. It's not his fault. It's yours. But you can make an adjustment. And when you make that adjustment, everything will start to go very well for you. And you'll say, my goodness, look what I've missed all my life. How could this be? How could these changes be affected when I thought I was always doing, you know, living the way I was supposed to, or thinking that my life was my own and I could do whatever I wanted? Did you ever think that earlier on in your life, that you could do that? Didn't turn out well, did it? No, he brought you to himself. He had to crush you, but he brought you to himself. How many parts destructive is the word of God? 4. How many parts constructive? 2. He plants and builds. After he destroys and demolishes and takes down, plucks up, then he plants and he builds. That was from Judy's message on Thursday night. And so, Jesus is our hero, the one we want to, whether you know it or not, the one you want to think like, speak like, choose and live like, and just generally be like. You want to be like him. He's the quintessential spiritual man. None of us does it perfectly by any means, but Christ has promised to will and work in us, if we will only let or allow him to. And for those who will, he promises to bring about an effortless transformation culminating in a day when we will be just like him. That is, on the day when you see him as he is. Not till then. In 1 John 3:2, he says, beloved, now we are the children of God, even now. But it's not appeared what we will be. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we'll see him just as he is. What is inferred here is that you will fully realize that you were like him all along, but didn't know it or see it. But it was so. And therefore, you did not walk around in the security, identity, destiny, and dignity of royalty and liberty that was yours in Christ Jesus. It's all yours. Take advantage of it. There's a message for the ages. And you need to remind me to develop that one. I'm going to. That everything is as he said it is, and you haven't seen it yet. That's all. And that's what you lack. So in all of this, Christ is our role model, the only one for the modus operandi, modus vivendi, that's well-pleasing to God. You know that's true. He alone is the standard, the role model of genuine spirituality, the starter and finisher of faith marathon race, who holds every record. By the time a baby reaches his first birthday, he begins to walk, taking unsure baby steps. And before you know it, that little one is like a runaway train. I always called my kids Dangerous Dan McGrew when they were that age because they're headed for cuts, bumps, and bruises. They're just out of control. Their legs start running, and they don't know where they're going and end up stopping when they're stopped by some object. So as time goes on, their skill and coordination allows them to navigate obstacles and edges that they used to plow into and don't get in the way any longer. Therefore, as believers, we are to acquire and hone spiritual skills that will enable us to live as imitators of our hero and enjoy the blessedness and happiness of walking well, living life to its fullest. If you don't have a good life, it's not God's fault. It's yours, and he can change that in a moment. You keep bumping your head, hurting yourself, shooting yourself in the foot. It's because you're thinking your own thoughts rather than his, making the same choices that you've always made over and over again, expecting better results, but only getting more of the same misery. Doesn't work that way. A life and lifestyle, modus operandi, and modus vivendi of making excuses and blaming others. Is that how you live? You say, are you preaching to the choir? Yes, I am, because these things affect everyone. See, living like that, it can only result in self-induced misery from self-inflicted wounds. It's a vicious cycle and a downward spiral. It's never anything other than that. For believers in Christ, living La Vida Loca. You know what La Vida Loca means? How many know that song? I'm going to do the video for you. The crazy life, right? You're living the crazy life. Living the crazy life of sowing to the wind, Hosea 8:7, and reaping the whirlwind, rather than sowing to yourself in righteousness and reaping mercy. That's Hosea 10:12. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Take all the mercy I can reap. Break up your fallow ground. There's a lot of rocks and lumps in the soil. For it's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon you. Too many rocks and hard clumps for the seed to penetrate deeply enough to germinate, to root down, to shoot up, and produce pleasant fruit, lots of it, for a pleasant, peaceful life. If you don't have one that is a peaceful life and don't know why, seek the Lord and search the scriptures. If you lack wisdom, ask, and he will give you wisdom. He never withholds wisdom from those who ask him for it. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, this is from the NLT, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking. But like James says, you don't have because you didn't ask. And sometimes you ask and don't receive because you ask for things that are harmful, hurtful, or sinful. That's James 4, verses 2 and 3. You know what we asked for in our prayer meeting on Tuesday night? I just want to let you know about this so you can pray with me. That the Lord would let us own or buy this building. That's bold, isn't it? Well, you don't have because you didn't ask. You think he can't do that somehow? Sure he can. Will you believe him for me, with me for that? Anybody? Okay. We just agreed. We all agreed. Why not? Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Lord, may we? We'll see, won't we? Nobody thought we would get in here the way we did. And so the next step is maybe the Lord has something more for us here. Not that we would own buildings and lands, not that kind of thing, but it just does something if you have a stake in it, you know, if it's yours. We take much better care of it, and we'll get the crews up here to cut down all these trees back here, and we'll have firewood for everybody's house, and, you know. Okay, I'm getting dirty looks. So, for unbelievers, if there's any unbelievers in the sound of my voice, you need to hedge your bet by making sure you're saved by a moment of clarity regarding the true identity of Jesus Christ as God and Savior. That's Acts 4:12. There is no one else in whom there is salvation, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, followed by a wise and resolute decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the free and irrevocable gift of eternal life, eternal salvation. In Acts 16:31, what must I do to be saved? Oh, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and so shall every member of your family that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31. And so, for us as believers, God has mapped it out for us, our course in the Gospels and the epistles of the New Testament. Listen to this, which it takes 3 minutes a day to read in a year. Do you have 3 minutes a day? At least do that. And it takes 2 weeks to read through at an hour a day. Only 2 weeks. The New Testament. 2 weeks or 3 minutes. Got 3 minutes? Got 2 weeks at an hour a day. I highly recommend that you do so. So what are you waiting for? You waiting for the LBBA? What? Oh, that's the Lazy Bum Believer Award. Do you have any of those on your shelf? I hope not. So you can put that on your refrigerator. Try to avoid the LBBA, the Lazy Bum Believer Award. So many things that we think, choose, and do are a waste of time and a waste of our life. A life is a terrible thing to waste. You don't want to waste your time or waste your life. Every day of your life is a gift, one that you are to value and enjoy. Take advantage of. At the end of your life, if you didn't, you won't be able to blame anyone but yourself. You won't be able to blame your mother or father, your brother or your sister, your friend or your enemy, your husband or your wife, or your children, God or the devil. You won't be able to blame any of them. You won't be able to say the devil made me do it, or God, it's your fault for making me the way that you did, the way that I am. You'll be forced to admit what is true. I am to blame for wasting my life. As you receive the LBBA. What becomes of people who walk through life thoughtlessly and carelessly and who never believe in Jesus Christ as God and Savior? Shudder to think. See, there is no need that any should perish, but that all should come to the repentance of faith. Should. No reason not to. From unbelief to faith in a moment, by taking one step, by stepping over the invisible line, from the domain of darkness, Colossians 1:13, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So you must no longer ignore the most important person who ever lived in all of human history. He is the reason it exists, the one who controls it, defines it, and even divides it. I'm talking about history. As it is, B.C., before Christ, and A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, who is the central figure of human history. No one's greater than Jesus Christ in human history, who alone has the words of eternal life. Where shall we go, Lord? You alone have the words of eternal life. Who came to seek and save the lost. In Luke 19:10, he says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." People say, "Did you find Christ?" Christ wasn't lost. You were. He came and found you. He came to seek and save you. Who came into the world to save sinners. In 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, "I am the chief of sinners." He was too. Not you, him, Paul was. But he became the chief apostle. That's grace. That's God's grace. So, who came that we might have eternal life and an earthly life of abundant happiness filled with meaning, purpose, and definition, full of wisdom and the pleasant fruit of righteousness. That's what he came to give you. If you have less than that, find out why. Get into the Word, because that's where the answers lie. John 10:10, a thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Who's the thief? The devil, your adversary, the devil, who walks around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to drink down. That's what he does. And he says, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." Jesus, who did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. In John 3:17, God didn't send his Son into the world to judge or condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. His intention is to save everyone. Jesus, who came to transfer us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians 1:13, who paid the wages of sin and gives us the gift of eternal life, free and clear, no strings attached. There are no strings attached in Romans 6:23. See, what God does, what Christ has done, is forever. It's permanent. In Ecclesiastes 3:14, everything God does will remain forever. There's nothing to add to it. Nothing can be taken from it. For God has so worked that men should give awesome respect and fear to him. What he gives, he can't take back. Did you know that? In Romans 11:29, the gifts of God, is salvation a gift? That's a gift. And the callings of God, did he call you from all eternity? Yes, he did. Knew you? Yep, he did. In Romans 8:29-30, then he can't take it back. They're irrevocable, as they say. Irrevocable, irrevocable. In other words, he can't take them back. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Romans 11:29 says in the NLT, it says, "For the gifts and his call can never be withdrawn." So do you have it today? You will always have it. It's permanent. I hope you know that. You think you can lose it by what you do? You can't lose it because of what he did. Hear it? You think you can lose it because of what you do? You can't lose it because of what he did. He fully satisfied all righteousness and justice with God, where it really counts, any place it counts. And then he paid for the sins of the world in a single afternoon by going to hell on the cross, by suffering in a wormhole, by what is equal to eternal destruction in his person, in his body, in his soul, who in his body bore our sins to the cross, the wood of the cross. And nobody could ever do what he did. But everyone can believe in him and have, as a result, the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you know that, don't you? But I like to say it anyway. So, throughout Scripture, Jesus is called the solid rock. Why? Because he's like a foundation, a firm foundation. And it says that wise men build their houses or their lives upon him. So no matter what happens, that life cannot fall apart or fade away. Rather, it will stand firm. I can only tell you what he's done for me. And being as he is, no respecter of persons, one who is impartial, who shows no favoritism, but is just and fair, giving all men equal treatment, what he will do for you, likewise. In case you think I'm some kind of a special case, I assure you I am not. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. Throughout Scripture, Jesus is called the solid rock, the firm foundation that men build their house, they're to build their house upon. Even if a state trooper knocks on your door at 1:30 in the morning to tell you your 19-year-old daughter was killed by her ex-boyfriend in a drunken crash. Or when the doctor tells you you have late-stage, high-grade malignant cancer in your bladder, located in what he calls the danger zone, which makes operating risky, or other things that threaten disaster, you can rest assured that all things are well in hand. I can only tell you what I've experienced. Jesus went like this. See the holes? See the holes? The wounds in my hands? Go ahead. Touch them. Don't be a doubting Thomas anymore. Isaiah 49:16, he says, behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Those are the same hands that were pierced on the cross. How about Psalm 22:16? For dogs have compassed me, an assembly of wicked men have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Zechariah 12:10 says, I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. They'll say, who was this man? He said, who are you? And where do you come from? And what are those holes in your hand inside? He says, oh, those were the wounds I received in the house of my friends. Now they're my friends. They weren't then, but they are now. Revelation 1:7, behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye will see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. That is, you better be on the right side when he comes. So he holds your future in nail-pierced or nail-scarred hands. He holds your future in nail-scarred hands. I had this ready before your message, Judy, so I didn't steal it from you. And of course, it's the Word of God. We don't steal anything from the Word of God. Have you ever had an original thought in your life that somebody else hasn't had? No, you haven't. Neither have I. We take it from the Word of God, not from people, anyway. So anyway, well, thank you, Judy, for your message. It's a wonderful message, encouraging. Anyway, so, as a believer in Jesus Christ, God will not soon forget what Christ did for you on the cross. Think he will? He won't. See, next to those wounds, according to our passage here, in Isaiah 49:16, next to those wounds is your name, right next to the wound. And next to those wounds is your name as one of his dearly loved children. He says, behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. That's pretty personal, pretty intimate. You're special to him because of Christ Jesus and his sacrifice that bought you from the slave market of sin and made you a child of the Most High God. And don't you ever forget it. That's Ephesians 1:5. He made you sons by Jesus Christ, adopted sons unto himself by Jesus Christ. With these things in view, you can begin to live an entirely new way. Modus operandi, modus vivendi. Walking like Jesus did. Trusting God every step of the way. That's the goal. That's your goal. Not sometimes for some things, but you can actually live all the time where everything is concerned like he did in the days of his humanity on the earth. He left you an example that you might follow in his footsteps. Walk like he did. Walking like Jesus did, trusting God every step of the way. That's the goal. Not like the world walks, trusting in everything except the Lord and his word. Ephesians 4:17, Paul says to believers, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the world walks in the vacuum of their mind." The vacuum of their mind. It's a shark vacuum cleaner. Their mind is a shark. Or a Dyson. So, he says, walk no longer as the world walks in the vacuum of their mind. The word is matiotes. I know you want to know this. You already got peripateto. I'm going to go for a peripateto with my wife and the dog. And now we have matiotes. It's the vacuum cleaner, the shark. It means the vacuum. That is, that which sucks up the dirt and debris that it comes in contact with, because the pressure on the outside is greater than the pressure on the inside. There's no content inside of the mind or the soul, so it sucks in what the world is telling it is true, or what is the preponderance of information or disinformation that circulates through the atmosphere. Vacuum that sucks up the dirt and debris that it comes in contact with, that contains nothing of value or spiritual reality to think with, and to choose with each day. Rather, try walking with the Lord day by day, moment by moment, and step by step. That's Psalm 119:133. Order my steps. This is a good prayer to pray each morning. Order my steps in the Word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Don't let me get carried away or make bad decisions that limit my future options. I want to stay free. Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man makes his choices, but the Lord directs his steps." Lean on him and trust him for that. Jeremiah 10:23, "O Lord, I know that the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. You direct my steps, and I'll get to where I'm going quickly without any further delay." Wait on God and save a lot of time. That's an oxymoron. What do you mean wait on God and save a lot of time? Well, you're not going to spin your wheels or take long, painful detours in the cosmos. But he'll get you where you're going as quickly as you can get there. 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto we were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." What's his steps? Well, his steps were Word of God, 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 Word of God. What are you going to do? What are you going to think? What are you going to choose? The Word of God. Choose the Word of God. Yes, you can live that way. And yes, we should. Do yourself a favor. Be your own best friend instead of your own worst enemy. Stop blaming people for what you've done to yourself. And by all means, stop making excuses. You just owe up and say, "I sinned when you sinned. I failed when you fail. I faltered. I stumbled." Don't try to hide it. Those who hide it make no further progress. Those who confess their sins have their life restored, wonderful things, without any ramifications. God turns the consequences of sin into a blessing, suffering for blessing, in cases where that occurs. Don't you know by now? Everybody should. But we forget these things. That's why I'm here. I'm here to remind you. And so, let's do this. Let's believe God's word. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them to put their trust in. Let's believe God's word this week, like perhaps we used to, and don't anymore. Because you take things for granted. When you become familiar, familiarity breeds contempt or disregard. Where God's word is concerned, we can't afford that. And again, every day is a gift. So take it and use it wisely, and God will bless it as you continue to walk around as Jesus did in the days of his human nature, walking by every word, living by every word of God. That's his modus operandi. That's his modus vivendi. And that's what we've been called to do. He is our role model. He is our superhero. And he is the one that we follow in his footsteps. He left those footsteps for us to follow in. He never once operated on his own will or by his own wisdom. He operated by the will and wisdom of God in all that he said, in all that he thought, in all that he said, in all that he chose, and in all that he did. You see, those are tall orders. That's right, and you can't do it, but he'll do it in you. That's what Philippians 2:12 says. It says, work out your salvation. Go figure out how that works. And then begin to do it. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work of his own good pleasure. And then how do you get that? How do you accommodate that? Galatians 5:5. We wait. He wills and works, and you wait by the Spirit through faith for the hope of righteousness. You say, how many times can you say that same thing? You've said it dozens and dozens and dozens of times, perhaps even 100 times in the last 20 years. Well, yes, I have. And that's not often enough because people haven't taken up on it, taken up with it. But I'll say it again. And today somebody will get it. Somebody will do it. And you don't have to be on the road very long to take a hold of that and implement that in your life, because God will do it, because he loves that kind of faith. Just start plugging. He loves the plugger. Just get plugging. Plug along. Walk along, step by step, moment by moment, day by day. And the Lord will fill you, teach you, and give you everything that you need to really be successful, that is, from his vantage point, from his viewpoint, in manifesting the person of Christ. He'll form Christ in you. Yes, he will. He'll do it in every case for those who trust him. Father, thank you for this. Thank you for the word today. Thank you for the word of encouragement, for the word of exhortation, for believers to hear and understand once again, and to think about things that perhaps they haven't thought about for some time, and to utilize these things and really see how wonderful things can be, how wonderful life can be in spite of the appointed sufferings and the results of the things that we do. You can turn all those things and work all those things together for the good to those that love you and are called according to your purpose. This we believe, and we're going to live like it, like it's true. And we pray these things in the precious and matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Vicki, amen.